Oh, okay. We ready for tones? Beep.
Beep.
Boop.
Il était une fois un homme sans amour ou tout comme, qui du fond de sa bulle s'observait dans ses rôles. Il faisait de son mieux afin de faire le bien.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case, keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know. Anyway, welcome. This is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight, we're going to talk about the 2001 movie Novocaine, starring Steve Martin.
Yeah, we are, but should we first talk about how much you hated my tone?
Your tone?
His yeah. Sync tone.
Oh. Oh, we can include it if you'd like.
No. No, definitely not.
So... I believe this is on Brother Jay's list.
It is.
Brother Jay, introduce us to Novocaine.
Novocaine was an interesting little movie that my older brother Eric and I saw when I was visiting in Anchorage one winter. And I don't think we knew what to expect going into it, and I don't think we knew what we had watched coming out of it. So it was a very strange, very dark, kind of odd comedy, mystery, drama... movie. I don't even know what you would classify it as, but it was very kind of interesting, and I remember walking out of it and just being kind of like, well, we just watched that, so that was a thing. It was not quite the same feeling as when we walked out of Observe and Report, so.
Oh no, not at all.
Was Novocaine a prequel or a sequel to Fight Club?
Oh, it was after.
Okay.
Long after.
I'm thinking this would be a good double feature for Permanent Midnight.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either. Novocaine, 2001.
And who's it directed by, since you have details in front?
David Atkins.
Who has done what else?
One moment.
Oh, here. Spoiler. Nothing.
Known for Arizona Dream, Peroxide Passion, The Horrible, Terrible... Misadventure of David Atkins.
Yeah, that's a reality show about trying to get a career back.
Okay.
Did Novocaine submarine his career?
I don't know. I don't think his career ever got high enough. I mean, somebody picked him to do Novocaine, but... I don't know. So, Drew, had you seen this movie before?
No.
And what did you think? Your first reaction.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't hate it. It had a lot of elements that I like. Like, I like the kind of mystery, thriller, everyman in bad circumstances kind of thing. But I found this movie to be really charmless. Like, I normally really like Steve Martin, even when he's, like, trying to be unlikable. Didn't like him in this movie. I think Laura Dern is really good, but... sort of not interesting in this movie, although she's probably the best one. And Helena Bonham Carter just seems like her shtick is old at this point. And this type of film almost always follows a specific formula. And so there has to be like some sort of hook or something that makes it unique. And the whole... dentistry thing that they were doing with this movie didn't really do it for me.
Yeah, this was a miss for me. I mean, I remember thinking it was like really dark and edgy at the time, but watching it again, and maybe it's the benefit of now being older and maybe being a dad, this movie made me uncomfortable and never... There was no adequate release for that tension. It was just a straight-up descent. But anyway, So, I mean, I'm happy to talk about it. But yeah, I was disappointed with this overall, frankly. So, shall we dive right in?
Yeah.
Or shall we just move on to housekeeping?
No, I mean, I don't think this is a bad movie. I think it's well made. I think in general, the performances are good.
It's got a script problem, a plot problem.
Yeah, that didn't even bother me. It was just, I don't know, something about this movie, it seemed joyless to me.
Yeah, that's it. Joyless and charmless. I mean, there was, well, we have Steve Martin as a dentist who, he's the narrator of the film, and he should be, it by all rights, this should be a straight up Hitchcockian kind of movie where he is the innocent man who lands in the unusual circumstances. You know, kind of a North by Northwest thing.
Okay.
But he's not. And he tells you from the beginning. I mean, this movie tells you what it is. He talks about how one mistake leads to another, and then you have lie upon lie, and how it descends into...
He equates it to tooth decay.
Yeah, exactly, which is nice. I was a little bit squicked out by all the x-rays, frankly. They tell me that's x-rays of the cast, but I don't actually believe it or care. But yeah, so he basically is a dentist who has a lovely lovely life, and his hygienist is his fiance, played by Laura Dern, who's great. And basically, someone comes into his office, a new patient named Susan Ivey, played by Helena Bonham Carter, who is frankly just drug seeking. And at first he tells her, no, I'm not that kind of dentist. But then he makes the mistake and he relents and gives her a prescription for what, 5 Demerol or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets a phone call from the pharmacy and he discovers that she has forged the prescription to give herself 50 Demerol. And that's where this movie should have stopped. But that's okay. I mean, because the twist, because now he's part of something. Now he wants to play this out a little bit, and we don't really know why. I mean, was he that affected by her? I mean, I guess I didn't see enough crazy attraction. Like, she was trying to be the same character, or she was told to be the same character from Fight Club, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't pull it off. Or they don't give her the tools to pull it off.
Or she just didn't have chemistry with Steve Martin.
Maybe. So, basically, Steve Martin sort of covers for her, and she shows up at the office again, and brings, like, what, beer and whatever. And I guess he is... There's a scene where he tries to convince Laura Dern to do it on the chair. On the, the dentist chair. And she won't do that because, you know, it's a sick fantasy or whatever. And so that's supposed to be kind of funny. But then immediately, you know, so Helena Bonham Carter comes in and seduces him in the chair. So I already kind of don't like him. And he's our hero in the story.
What makes him a hero?
No, I mean, he's the protagonist of the story.
Is he?
I don't know. Is there a, okay, who would there be then?
I don't think there is one.
Yeah, that's...
I think, because I actually like kind of like this movie. I think, from my perspective, what I got out of it was that Steve Martin was in an illusion of a life that he thought was what he wanted and thought it was good. Turns out that it was all smoke and mirrors, that his fiance wasn't into him, his brother wasn't being honest, that people around him were just kind of... They were just kind of adjacent to him, but he wasn't really involved in his day-to-day life as much as he was just a dentist. That was his identity. And then as he realized when he's faced with something different that may be very different than what he's used to, which is Susan walks in, she kind of pushes his boundaries and he's so complacent that he doesn't push back. He lets himself be led down a path. Then he realizes how unhappy he is, and then it just devolves from there because rather than making good choices, he makes those kind of desperate choices to kind of find something that has better than what he had. Turns out, though, he put his faith in the wrong vehicle.
So he's Paul Giamatti in Duets.
Yeah.
But Paul Giamatti in Duets was likable.
Well, to a certain point, I mean, he was likable up until a certain point. But he also, you know, there was a lot of elements against him, which also didn't help.
I guess maybe I'm disappointed because I didn't like Steve Martin enough. Because I can see where, okay, you've got this guy who makes a mistake and he's trying to get free of his dull life, a la Paul Giamatti in Duets. And then he comes across this alluring person who pushes his boundaries, and so he takes a chance. And then we get to forgive him for infidelity, because it turns out the person he's unfaithful to is also kind of unfaithful to him, as, you know, we learn later, spoiler. So it makes it okay, I guess. And there's the whole parallel with a really dark subplot, because Helena Bonham Carter, she is not like, Manic Pixie Dream Girl? She's just a druggie. She's a drug addict.
She's a very damaged individual. I mean, a drug addict is just one facet of her damage.
Exactly. Yes. She's completely damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of played for comedy.
Was it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. See, it made me uncomfortable.
See, I don't think it was played for comedy. And maybe that's why you're disappointed in Steve Martin. I wasn't disappointed in him. Because I didn't go into it thinking it was a comedy. I think that's the mistake. I think if you expect this movie to be funny, you will get the wrong kind of vibe out of it. At least for me, anyway.
I think that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, I expected it to be, you know, if not like a straight-up comedy, I expected it to be at least be a dark comedy. And it's not really. It's just sort of there's some funny moments, but it's really... And I think that's mostly because Steve Martin can't help but be funny sometimes. But it's just kind of a dark thriller all the way through.
So let me pose this. If it had been cast by somebody else that wasn't a comedian, do you think this would have been a better movie? Do you think that you couldn't, and I'm not casting any kind of judgment against you. I'm just saying, do you think that you couldn't?
Judge away. It's okay. I'm judging you for liking this piece of crap.
I mean, but do you think that because he was a comedian, that baggage spilled over into what your expectation of the movie was?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I understand that, but I think that's why you didn't enjoy the movie. I think you were expecting Steve Martin to be comedian Steve Martin, and this wasn't. This was serious Steve Martin.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate. I didn't dislike this movie. I just didn't enjoy it. Like I wouldn't trash it. But I also wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to take a stand and trash it, because I know we're skipping around a little bit, but this is a thriller. So, you know, I mean, we can leave, leave some sort of mystery, I suppose. But here's the problem I had with this movie, right? You have this guy, and it doesn't have to be a comedy. It's fine. We've seen lots of movies that aren't comedies that are really funny, with this guy who you can, I guess, kind of identify with. And he makes these mistakes, but he tells you in the very beginning what you're getting. You know he's going to make mistakes because he's already told you he's made mistakes. So we have this thing, and he meets this damaged person, and she's very attractive to him for all the right and wrong reasons. And then we find out that there's this plotting against him by his fiance. But my problem with him, I think I would have liked the movie more if it didn't end with Steve Martin and Helena Bonham Carter off in France having a good time. I don't think they earned that. I think that's a cop-out ending.
Why do you think it's a cop-out ending? Okay, so everybody's listening. If you haven't watched this movie, I guess you're probably not going to, because nobody likes it but me, which is fine.
By the way, you are very influential.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that these are spoilers, of course. Steve Martin suffered through having it turned out that his fiance wasn't real. His brother was also against him, possibly planning to help frame and kill him, but definitely frame him. So when it turns out that his brother is killed, a brother, by the way, who spent, he spent clearly part of his life trying to help rehabilitate to a failure, his reward for that is that he gets to escape to France. He gets to have the life that he wanted and kind of regroup after, you know, his betrayed by his fiance and his brother, which is that's a pretty significant amount of loss.
Well, I mean, okay, so he and Helena Bonham Carter in this movie, they both lose brothers who, it turns out, are horrible people.
Yes.
Was that supposed to be her real brother or some dude she hooked up with and just called her brother?
I don't know. It's disturbing either way.
Yeah. Very inappropriate brother-sister relationship they had.
Ugh.
I think the implication was he was so cracked out, maybe. That's what he thought.
I suppose. You know, and that's, by the way, Scott Conn, who did a fine job, I suppose.
Oh, he played Psycho. Good.
Yeah. And Steve Martin's brother is played by Elias Koteas, who we know from
Gabriel. He's the guy who is not from Law and Order SVU.
Oh, he's not. Very funny. He's not Christopher Maloney.
Yes.
Did you think he was for a moment?
No, but I always get them mixed up.
First of all, he was in The Killing, by the way. The American The Killing.
Was he the sketchy guy?
I don't know. He was Skinner. Like, I mean, partner? I watched it, but I don't remember him. No, he wasn't the partner.
Okay. Must have been a later season.
He was in Let Me In. Let's see. Shutter Island.
Still haven't seen Let Me In. I've heard it's good.
He was in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. He was in Zodiac.
I remember liking Zodiac the second time I saw it. We may need to visit Zodiac.
Zodiac was decent.
He's been on the podcast in Gattaca.
Gattaca.
Right?
Yep. Okay. Gattaca.
That must be it. Is that the Gabriel to which you're referring?
No. Weren't there like a series of like almost like religious horror movies with Christopher Walken as the Archangel Gabriel?
Oh.
Maybe they were called Archangel.
The Prophecy.
Yes, yeah, and I think Elias Koteas was in the first one.
I think that's one of those series you can get like five for a dollar.
Yeah, he was indeed in it.
I remember the first one being okay.
It was like Christopher Walken and who else was in it?
Virginia Madsen, Eric Stoltz, Viggo Mortensen, Amanda Plummer.
Oh, Viggo Mortensen, I think, was the devil.
Yes, as Lucifer.
Well, we can put that on the calendar.
We should do a double feature of that and The Crow. They were both like right around the same time.
Oh, no.
Are you a masochist?
Well, one of them has a good soundtrack.
I have fond memories of The Crow, even if it doesn't hold up.
Have you rewatched it since we watched it in the theater together?
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
I was going to say, are you sure?
Yeah, I still have fond memories of it.
Isn't it Christian Slater that did the ADR?
For The Crow?
Yeah, after he was killed, I think Christian Slater did the voice.
Really?
I did not know that.
We go from one Christian movie to another Christian movie.
So we should do a double feature of The Crow and Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, well, we're doing Pump Up the Volume and Heathers as a double feature, so...
Oh, that's right.
We can do...
Triple feature.
No, we can do The Crow and... Interview with the Vampire. Actually, I think we could probably do Interview with the Vampire by itself and have an interesting time talking about it. Although I don't know if it's going to hold up at all. Or if it was even a good movie at the time.
Maybe we could do The Crow and Rapid Fire.
You know, I just got in the mail from Netflix was Colossal and Free Fire.
Oh, I liked Free Fire quite a bit.
Have you seen Colossal yet?
No.
I'll let you know how that turns out. It seems quirky. See... And again, I don't want to blame Helena Bonham Carter, but she was really, the character was pretty much like the character in Fight Club, but there was zero chemistry and there wasn't much interesting about their relationship. Like it was interesting, the relationship that John had with, or Jack or whoever the main character was.
Yeah, it was Jack, right?
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, but Dr. Frank and I don't know. It's just charmless. I think you hit it. Hit the nail on the head. Charmless. An undeserved happy ending.
I don't know. I didn't buy Helena Bonham Carter as like a junkie.
You didn't?
No.
I don't know. I kind of bought her as a junkie.
Well, she wasn't necessarily a junkie anyway. She was only doing it to try and to get her brother away from her.
Yeah, see, I could buy that, but I don't know. She seemed way older than her brother, and she seemed too old to be a junkie.
It turns out junkies can be really old. And what was the deal with like the bruise on her cheek?
Well, ostensibly that came from her brother.
Yeah, but then he got the same kind of bruise on his cheek? Is that just a coincidence?
Who knows?
It's a mystery.
We may never know.
And I don't know. I mean, the weird, edgy violence seemed to me like discordant with the rest of the tone in the movie.
Oh, I just remembered something about this movie that I loved.
It ended?
No.
The themes, the songs that are interspersed?
Nope. I loved Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
Well, that's another tonal problem. I mean...
Yeah, he was hilarious. His whole speech about when the detective was telling him that it's too much, that he should dial it down, he was like, no, I can't. Because I'm an actor, and if I'm not doing stuff, how will they know I'm doing stuff?
Well, and the okay, so during this whole weird crime spree that happens, we meet a police officer or police detective played by Keith David, who's great in everything, always, forever. And then and the actor who's tagging along to learn the role is the actor is Lance Phelps, played by Kevin Bacon. Who's doing a Kevin Bacon type. Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious. I mean, I thought he was way more charming than Steve Martin.
Yeah, and maybe it was just because I was craving something funny in this movie. And he was great. But all, like, the DEA guy was, like, really freaky weird. Yes. For reasons I never understood.
And was he really a DEA agent, or was he just misdirection from somebody else was helping out in the drug sales?
No, he was really a DEA agent because he was one of the people that was like interrogating Laura Dern at the end.
And I think, I mean, I know why he was there, because it was sort of comedy, but it also was there to ratchet up the tension on Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I wanted Steve Martin to end this film... Well, Helena Bonham Carter needed to die of AIDS, and Steve Martin needed to die in a shootout with police. Not necessarily AIDS, maybe an overdose, but I don't know.
No, why did she need to die?
Frank needed to get away. Frank needed to win. Otherwise, it's just bleak. Frank had to win.
He may have had to win, but he didn't deserve to win. If he had simply been hapless, I think... But he was sort of conniving through the whole thing. I think he was too smart. I think Steve Martin played him too smart, or I think Steve Martin is too smart. Like, if he played more of a dumb guy, I think it would have been more effective. If he was just hapless and pathetic. But he was pretty much in control the entire movie.
No, he wasn't.
You didn't think it was sort of dumb and hapless? When he chose his final solution, when the evidence to clear him was right next to him.
Oh, but he didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah. But that's pretty hapless.
That's an interesting turn, but I don't know.
Also abuse of a corpse, man.
Yeah. There was a lot of abuses in this movie.
Look, if my death can help save one of you two, I give you permission to pull my teeth out. But please make sure I'm dead.
Okay.
You got it.
Sold, yeah. It's so, I'm sorry, I can't recommend this movie. I'm sorry.
But you don't have to. I mean, it's not a sin.
I mean, you know, okay, here's, maybe it's the news. Maybe it's the fact that I can't watch the news these days because I hate the world. So
we're bringing some baggage with us to this movie.
Oh, we're completely bringing baggage to the movie because, you know, another thing I found kind of uncomfortable is this movie as a vehicle for Steve Martin to have on-scene sex or on-screen sex with partners way younger than he is.
Men who have money and power tend to attract that.
No, I get it. I understand. But again,
is this jealousy?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just my reaction to Harvey Weinstein and Mark Halperin and Dr. Cosby and Terry Richardson and countless.
Wait a minute. Others. But wait a minute. But that's not the movie's fault.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's a movie. So that's not a fair. That's not a fair.
Oh no, I get to judge through my own lens though. So,
but that's not a fair judgment, is what I'm telling you. Do you think that Steve Martin abused Laura Dern or Helena Bonham Carter?
No, not at all. And he has never been accused of anything, as far as I know. And I don't want to hear it if he has.
Then how is it fair to bring that baggage into this movie?
You bring your baggage everywhere. I can't help but bring my baggage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, again, it didn't ruin the movie for me. I think if there would have been, it was just one of a bunch of things that made Steve Martin's character not super likable.
He wasn't supposed to be likable.
I guess. I wanted to like somebody in the movie.
Why?
This movie gave me no one to like.
It wasn't that kind of movie.
But
and you're bothered by like a guy in his early 60s. Doing it with a woman in her early 40s.
Like Laura Dern, you mean?
And Helena Bonham Carter.
She's not in her early 40s in this movie.
What, late 30s?
Early 30s. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just projecting way too much. And I don't know why. There's no reason for it. Again, you're right. It's probably unfair.
Well, I mean, I can't judge fairness. I can just, you know, I can just judge you.
Yeah. Well, and you know that's the thing. I mean, maybe this was a take shelter moment for me where I just wasn't in the right place to enjoy this movie.
That's fair.
So, any other trivia or anything before we give our final verdicts and move on to housekeeping? 30 minutes
so,
into talking.
As about I said, so we just Kubo'd this movie.
How about? I love this now a verb.
I really dug his 1970s Citroen.
Yeah, he had a stupid car. I didn't like that either.
He got a serial killer name, Chopper.
Well, that was the other weird subplot that if this was going to be funny, they needed to push it a little over the top.
It wasn't supposed to be funny.
Then they failed. They failed the marketing. I've seen a trailer for this movie where it's a wacky comedy.
Well, I'm sure the marketing people will tell. Marketing people lie about everything.
It didn't help that Steve Martin played a, was he a dentist in Little Shop of Horrors?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So like super goofy dentist, right?
Yeah. Super sadistic goofy dentist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there's a good quote in the movie. You're kind of sweet in a dentist kind of way.
Yeah. Well, no, there were funny quotes about how whether, you know, when he accused her of rolling into town and setting up dentists, or does he do doctors too? And she's like, well, mostly dentists because, you know, they're not as smart. No offense. Like, that kind of stuff was fun. I mean, I like those lines. That's a comedy movie.
I mean, plus, if you want to get really nitpicky, the DEA would never have left him ever.
Oh,
if
no.
There was some kind of strain. They would have descended on him like a plague of locusts.
Yeah, if they were watching him, they would not have tipped him off.
But and they would not have left without what they wanted, or they would have shut him down.
Yeah.
There would have been none of this, we'll be back in a couple days. No.
And there was a thing where, now, was the DEA, I mean, I assume we can, do we believe that the DEA agent was correct when he said he found one of the vials of the drugs that she had taken, like, with a child?
Who knows? Who knows if it was misdirection or not?
Yeah.
It was like the dog in Cold Blood.
I have not seen that movie, but I enjoyed the episode quite a bit.
Oh, well, thank you.
I predicted you might.
Did you? What? I think the intro, was it too long?
No, I liked it.
It was good.
Okay, so, Brother Jay, what's your verdict? Novocaine.
I think if you divorce yourself from the idea that this is a comedy and go into it with this kind of a suspense thriller-ish movie, it's a fine movie. It's not a great movie, but it's a fine movie. It was entertaining, and I remembered watching it but didn't remember the whole plot, and so I didn't feel like I wasted my time. So I didn't think this was the big flaming craphead turd that I suspect my brothers do. So I would give it a C.
Brother Drew?
I can't say this movie is worth it, but I don't think it's a bad movie. It's one of those movies where I didn't enjoy it. There were some things I could appreciate about it, but it's the type of movie that makes me want to argue with someone who has a strong opinion about it. Like I want to argue with Brother Jay about why it's not that great, and then I want to argue with you, Eric, about why it's better than you think it is.
So better or worse than Rat Race?
It is better than Rat Race.
I disagree. I file my disagreement. I'll file my my motion in writing.
See, I'm just pouring gasoline on the fire at this point.
But I have a question for you too, because I was thinking about this while I was watching it.
Sure.
Do you guys have a favorite on-screen dentist?
Huh. Well,
because I saw one in something I watched recently that I loved and could not get enough of.
Are you speaking of Dr. Giggles?
No.
Okay.
I'm speaking of a dentist played by Billy Bob Thornton in the first season of Fargo. It might be my favorite thing Billy Bob Thornton has ever done.
I kind of like the dentist from The Man with One Red Shoe.
Yeah, I don't remember that dentist.
I'll have to think about screen dentists.
I like the dentist played by Walter White in Seinfeld.
I remember liking the Dr. Cosby routine about how coming home from the dentist. More of a horror story now than it used to be.
Rohip what?
Yeah. My final thoughts on Novocaine, because I don't have the dentist answer, is that, okay, I guess it's not, I don't think it's a horrible movie. I think it's technically well made. I thought the actors did a fine job. If it was going to be a dark comedy, I wanted it to be funnier. I realized that I've been told several times it's not a comedy. If it's going to be more of a taut thriller, I wanted a David Mamet type to come in and punch it up. Or, like, I don't know, throw some action in.
I think they tried to... I think that's what the whole X-ray dentist... Not allegory, but comparison, parallel with the plot. Like, in a Mamet movie, the sort of shtick to the thriller is, like, the dialogue, right? And in this movie, it was the x-rays and the comparisons to dentistry. And I think that didn't work as intended.
Yeah, I don't think it worked either. I mean, I know, again, I think they were just trying too hard with that. Or they didn't try hard enough. I don't know. No, I want it both ways. I really do.
It's likely one of those two.
You really went out there, Eric. You made a stake your point.
Yeah, I don't know. Novocaine. You can find a better Steve Martin movie. You can find a better Helena Bonham Carter movie. You could probably find a better Scott Conn movie.
I'm not sure about that. Well, better movies, not better. He's always kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, they hire him for his neck. So I say, go all in and watch Untamed Heart, Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Hollow Man, whatever.
What's the Untamed Heart connection?
Oh, I picked the wrong movie. Wild at Heart is what I meant. Monkeys.
Like, I know we were talking about Christian
Slater. Those are very different movies.
Yeah, well, it was Heart to Heart, the TV show, whatever. I don't care. Stephanie Powers. Mm, yum.
Max.
Okay, so. Yeah, so housekeeping. Brother Drew, welcome back.
Thank you. I feel like I owe an apology to Bridget Moynihan.
For, you're thinking
for the iRobot episode.
Oh no, it was fine. You're allowed to have opinions too.
Yeah, that one was maybe once or twice was fine.
The whole 19-minute rant about how you hated her, her acting, her parents, her pets, her kids.
I think I alluded to her being a horrible mother, which was uncalled for. Yeah.
Well, no, you said she was a next level troll. I don't think you said she was a bad mother.
I think you wished her to have die of AIDS in real life.
But while I was traveling, I had opportunity to actually watch a movie.
Like in a
start
theater?
To finish. No. Okay. No. still on my phone, but uninterrupted. Wow. As much as you can be uninterrupted on a plane. But probably not the best movie to be watching when people can look over your shoulder. But I watched The Green Room.
Oh.
It was great.
Wasn't it?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought Patrick Stewart was chilling. I thought Anton Yelchin was great.
Martin, whatever his name is. Was great.
Who is Martin?
The guy from Blue Ruin.
Oh, yeah. Macon Blair.
Yeah, that guy. Martin.
Yeah. He was good. The dogs were good.
And so you've not seen it yet, Jason?
No.
It's really good, although it's got some Blue Ruin moments in it.
What is it? It's called The Green Room?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like 20 movies with that title.
It's the most recent one with Patrick Stewart.
Because he's not even listed. Let's see. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, it's bleak. There's a lot of tension and not much release.
I don't think the most recent entry is indeed what the movie was, because this is about a marijuana dispensary.
No. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a Green Room.
It's from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll just look at Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It proves that Patrick Stewart is in the same level as a Tom Cruise. He's just a movie star. Or he's just an actor with gravitas.
It's just Green Room, not The Green Room.
I apologize.
Articles. God damn articles.
Oh, the late Anton Yelchin. That's sad.
A barely recognizable Imogen Poots?
Yes.
Gesundheit.
Imogen, right?
Is it Imogen?
I think it's Imogen, yeah.
I don't know. Those continental names.
Freaking continent.
Also, in a bout of insomnia, I watched a movie in its entirety last night that I didn't expect to watch all the way through. It was a really interesting movie. It was called Wheelman. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
I think it's a Netflix original. It's a new movie.
I've seen the ads for it.
Yeah, it stars Frank Grillo, who was a bad guy in a couple of the Captain America movies, but also was the MMA trainer in Fighter.
Okay.
And he plays a getaway driver for hire.
So kind of like Drive?
Sort of like Drive if the entire movie took place in the car.
Okay. That would have made Drive a much better movie.
Maybe. I like Drive.
I haven't seen it, but I suspect that Drive needed a David Mamet punch-up of dialogue.
There was barely any dialogue.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But yeah, Wheelman was interesting. I didn't know what I was expecting, but it was not it. And Frank Grillo, I thought, was good, given that a significant chunk of the movie was just him in the car in various states of duress.
A short movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's very digestible.
So double feature, Green Room and Wheelman.
No. No. No, they're both kind of Green Room's really dark in setting and tone. And then Wheelman, it's a little bit lighter, but it's still pretty dark and definitely dark in setting. I heard someone, or maybe it was in the description itself, describe Wheelman as like a cross between Collateral and Locke.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've seen Locke.
I have not. It's on my list, but I haven't seen it.
But yeah, I think that movie is just Tom Hardy in a car the whole time. So I'd say check it out.
Cool. Any fun vacation stories?
I have a story about a water slide. If you want to sit through it, I'm happy to share it.
It doesn't involve diarrhea, does it?
Oh.
No. It involves... all right, I'll just tell it.
Tell it, yeah.
Yeah, because we're only 45 minutes in, so you got plenty of time to kill.
So we stayed at the Aulani Resort, the Disney Resort, on Oahu in Kapolei, which is on the West Shore. Maybe Ko'olina. That neck of the woods. And it's a great place for kids because it's very kid friendly, but still really, really nice. And this is the first vacation we've taken with our children where we didn't feel like our own internal pressure to like get them out and expose them to stuff, like zoos and museums and stuff, because we've been there before and we did that last time. So this time we stayed at the resort the whole time. Just walked across the street. We didn't have a rental car or anything. So it was very relaxing. More so for me, because my wife had to work a little bit. Her office was not leaving her alone. So one of the mornings, I had the two kids while she was finishing up some stuff. And we went out, made it to the pool. So we were waiting for my wife to come out, and I was sort of managing both of them. And we went to... a bigger pool than we'd been. There are several pools on the property. And we went to a bigger pool and we were just kind of exploring that. And there's this like little cave area in this pool. And in this cave area was the bottom of a water slide. And we saw people coming out. And my oldest daughter wanted to go down it. My youngest daughter did not. They've sort of flipped their risk aversion. Last time we were there, it was my youngest daughter who was fearless and my oldest daughter who was really cautious about stuff. So I had two of them. One of them wanted to go down the water slide, the other didn't. So I asked my oldest daughter if she wanted to go down by herself because I had to stay with my youngest. And she said, okay. So we got out of the pool and walked up the stairs to go to the top of the slide. And it's like a story and a half walking up. Like the stairs just kept going. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? She's like, yeah. She's like getting really excited. And we go up there and there's a couple people in line. And it's got like a red light, green light thing where someone goes down and you have to wait for the red light to turn green before the next person to go down. So I made sure she was okay with the process and was going to be able to do it herself and kind of stayed with her till she was next in line. And she said she was okay. I was like, okay, we're going to go down, walk down the stairs and we'll meet you at the bottom of the pool. So then I grabbed my youngest and was like hustling down without like slipping and dying. But my intention was to get down there and be down there when she came out of the slide. It did not happen that way. By the time I made my way back down with my younger daughter, she had already emerged from the bottom of the slide and was in the pool area. And the lifeguard was saying, are you okay? Because apparently she had just ejected into the pool and just like sat there stunned. So I went into the water and the grad was like, "Are you okay?" And she looked at me. She's like, "That was so much fun." And she wanted to do it again. I was like, "Oh, okay." So I was relieved that I hadn't been like a really horrible parent. And so I hung out there with my youngest in the pool area, and she kept going up and down. She probably did it by herself another 6 or 7 times before my wife got there. And when my wife finally showed up, now she could hang out with my youngest one, and my oldest daughter wanted me to go up with her. And, you don't want to wimp out in front of your child, even though I didn't really want to do it. I was like, all right. Because I can't swim. So even though that area of the pool, actually all the pools there, I think are shallow enough that I can stand up. I think the deepest pool I found was still like only up to my neck. I'm still not real comfortable in the water, but I didn't want to be like, no, I'm too scared to go. You go, little 6-year-old. So I went up with her and we were in line. And she went down first, and then I waited for the green light, and then I went down and I experienced the slide and found out it is terrifying. It is a terrifying experience. It is pitch black. Like, there is no light once you get in there, and it's really disorienting, super fast, super windy. And since you can't see anything, you have like no sense of time. You're just like sliding and turning forever. And then all of a sudden this white light hits you as you eject into the pool at like 100 miles an hour. And, you know, I'm not comfortable in water. So my first instinct is, I'm also not like a screamer. So I'm like, I'm hiding my terror behind a like stony poker face, even though no one can see me. But when I hit the water, my first instinct is to gasp. So then I'm like swallowing water. And even though it's only like 4 feet deep, I feel like I'm drowning. But I have to like hold it all together because I don't want to like stand up.
Freak out your kids.
Yeah. And
so did the lifeguard come and ask you if you're okay?
No, but I hit the water so hard that it knocked my sunglasses off. So they went flying in the pool, but I was so disoriented. I was like, I don't... And you have to move out of the way or the lifeguard will yell at you.
So I'm trying to move out of the way. Do you think maybe it was so dark in there because you had your sunglasses on?
No, because I had to do it again. I had to go down this thing multiple times.
Oh.
But I left my sunglasses. No, it's pitch black. Like, I don't know how she went down by herself and went into the pool with like nobody there to praise her or be like, hey, that was pretty cool. And she still thought it was a fun experience.
You were like altered states at the bottom.
Yeah. So I was retroactively like very impressed with her that she was all gung ho for this. Cause she turns out she is fearless. And I shamed my wife into experiencing it because she didn't want to go either. I was like, no, you have to. She's like, nah, it's not really my thing. I was like, doesn't matter, you have to go.
Someday she'll jump off the stratosphere.
Yeah, they had another slide. So same set of stairs you walk up, and one is you go down the dark slide of death that I went down. The other side is a slide that goes to like it's called the Lazy River. It's this like big loop you can float on inner tubes. It's got like a slight current to it.
Is that fun, by the way?
Oh, it's my favorite part. I love it. It's so relaxing. And they hide like lots of fun stuff along the path for you to look at. But the other side is a slide you can go down with on an inner tube. So we did that a couple times. That was way more fun because it's mostly light and you actually do feel like you're in a luge. But so we did that. But yeah, all in all, fun time. The plane rides with kids of that age and that length are kind of nerve-wracking, but we survived. Everybody did really well. So
I'm trying to think if I would even enjoy a relaxing vacation. Like, what would I do if I had a moment to relax?
I would say I don't think it would be relaxing if you didn't enjoy it.
I can't imagine. I mean, it would be fun to try. The idea of going on a vacation and not spending the whole time running around seeing stuff is odd. And I don't think I'm much of a relaxer. I'm a sleeper. I can sleep, but I'm not going to go on vacation to sleep.
Well, it's the relaxing part was I purposefully left my watch at home. So after a few days when you finally decompress, and thankfully my office wasn't bugging me too much, there were times when my daughters we'd been out most of the morning, and they'd be like, we're hungry. Is it lunchtime? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what time it is. I'm not even really sure what day it is. It's like, if we're hungry, we eat. Doesn't matter. And they're like, but is it lunchtime? It's like, I have no idea. It's whatever time we want. Let's go. So that part was very relaxing.
Yeah, that seems interesting. Someday I will experience that.
I recommend it.
Not soon, evidently, but I don't know, someday.
I was listening to a podcast recently where a parent was describing somebody was asking him if he goes on vacation. He's like, no. You go on vacations before you have children. When you have children, you go on trips.
Ah, that's funny. So, Brother Jay, what do you bring to the housekeeping table this week?
I will show you.
He's whipping it out, people. He's whipping it out. Da-da-da. It's fuzzy.
It's a giant scarf that says Global Spirit Tour 2017.
Yes.
And has some runes on the edge. It says Depeche Mode, but it still has the Apple sticker on it.
Exactly. So Monday night, Jesse and I went and saw Depeche Mode at the Moda Center, which was formerly the Rose Garden, which is where Brother E and I saw you too. So, and Dave Matthews, but we don't talk about the Dave Matthews thing.
Oh, we do. We do. Just in a different tone than the U2.
We had we were in row 13 on the floor, so they were awesome seats. We arrived early because I'm compulsive about such things, which I immediately regretted because we got there at about 7 o'clock. The opening act started at 7:30.
A PJ Harvey?
No. A PJ Harvey would have been a step up.
Smash Mouth.
By a factor of about 1,000.
Have we heard of them?
No, I've never heard of them.
Okay.
War Paint.
Ah, of course. Now, was it an all-girl band?
It was an all-girl band.
Oh, awesome.
They seemingly could play, question mark. Couldn't understand anything that they were singing. So I was like, old man. I kept texting Jesse because I couldn't hear well enough to hear what I was saying to him. So I was texting him like, they have one note. It's the same note. Also, they have one lyric. It's the same lyric. Oh, that's their lyric. That's all I could hear. Because clearly they only, you know, opening bands never get the sound system. They basically get the crap that's at the front of the stage. Because Depeche Mode is not going to give them their whole sound system. That's theirs. So opening acts, you know, they have bad sound and bad acoustics and whatever. But they played for 45 minutes.
Wow. Good for them.
By the time they were done, I was like, well, I'm going to go pee. Because clearly, this is going to be a while. So eventually, Depeche Mode took the stage. And I got to say, for being as old as David Gahan is, and the whole heroin and rehab thing, he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing.
What? Okay, besides Personal Jesus, and was it Pictures of You? What?
That's the Pictures of You is the Cure.
Oh, okay. Well, then tell me some Depeche Mode songs I would know.
People Are People. Personal Jesus. I'm going to blank on all of them now.
This isn't
Barrel of a Gun, Wrong. They played a good mix. They played some of the stuff from their new album, Revolution, which is pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. It was a wide array of old, middle, and new stuff. So it was a good mix.
Now, being on the floor, were you guys dancing around?
Stood up the whole time. Yes.
Nice.
Awesome.
The only bad part about being that close to a crowd that's standing up is when people are standing up, they tend to be shielded from view. So somebody was clearly smoking some pot they had stashed in a bookcase from like 1950 that they'd been saving just for some special occasion, because it was the most disgusting, rank-ass, gross, wilted, old, shredded, nasty-ass weed. It was bad. It was just skunk weed. It's like, you know what? Portland has legal weed. I mean, if you were going to go to the trouble to smuggle it in, you should have at least got some good weed.
So
you can tell just by the way it smells when it's being smoked?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. So were you up on Jesse's shoulders for most of the concert?
He would have died. I outweigh him easily. No, we had good views. So, you know, even though everybody was standing up from the floor, we had a great view of the stage. So Jesse took a lot of video, but I was too busy singing and dancing to care. I didn't want to take any pictures. I was in the moment. So it was actually a pretty good concert. Awesome. Considering how, you know, I mean, it's that hard fine line where you have to decide, do I want to see somebody I used to really like in their aged state perform? Cause it could either be really, really good, or it could be just geriatric disaster.
It's what we call the Ozzy Osbourne conundrum.
So, I mean, it could have been really bad, but it was excellent. I mean, they did, clearly the tempo was slowed down a little bit for some of the songs, so it was clear that, you know, he couldn't quite keep up with, but that's fine. I couldn't keep up either. You know, I'm older too, so I get it.
Well, we had the discussion about, you pointed out with Elton John.
Oh, yes. Where everything's in a lower register.
Yes.
They've moved the notes down an octave. Yes. And that's, you know, that's okay. I mean, I expect that. The fact that he could get out on stage, they could all get out on stage and perform all night, as long as they did, as physical as they did, was amazing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was a great experience. I'm glad we went. Jerry went. She sat elsewhere in the arena. And it turns out I had quite a few friends that turned out that they went, that were there. So that was a good experience. And I got my like $15 Diet Coke, and Jesse had like his two $12 beers. So
sweet.
So it was a good experience. As much as I loathe crowds like that, it's very difficult for me to be out in giant crowds of strangers for any length of time. But we managed, and Derek was nice enough to drop us off, so I didn't have to park. And then we just took the light rail and the bus back home. So that worked out, even though, you know, we didn't get home until well after midnight. But I took Tuesday off work knowing that we wouldn't get home at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, so. See, that's awesome. That is planning.
Yeah. And then we came home. Well, then I came home and had, you know, terrible food. So
yeah,
that was a perfect night.
Traditional.
Yes. And now that I have a giant air fryer, life is good.
Yeah, tell me about your air fryer experience. I love my air fryer. I fried everything for a long time.
Yeah. I have a giant one. I have an XL Philips.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It can do an entire bag of French fries in one batch.
Cool.
An air fryer,
French fries. Judy, do you have an air fryer?
We do.
And you dig it as well?
I do.
It's the devil, man.
It does smell up the whole house, though.
Yes.
Oh, mine doesn't.
Well,
really?
We have ours actually sitting atop our stove. Like, I have a big black cutting board that basically covers two of the burners.
I do the same thing, so you can vent it.
Yeah, so it vents right there. And now, actually, since we use it more than we use the stove, and because it's so gigantic, that's the thing, is it's very, very big.
Yeah, it's hard to find a place to store it conveniently.
Well, and I was doing some research online, and one of the people suggested if you're having problems with odors or smoke, you just put a little bit of water in the pan in the bottom, and that suppresses a lot of it, so... But it's amazing how the stuff in the bottom of the pan doesn't burn, considering how hot the thing is. So,
yeah.
And it is hot. I was like, good Lord. We've done quite a few things in it. So I've been pretty impressed by it.
Yeah.
We're kind of experimenting with things that aren't necessarily, you wouldn't put in a fryer, but it's, you know, things work out. So it's been a thing. So we're experimenting. It's fun.
Yeah. We made some really good, like, oven fried chicken.
Oh yeah.
Just like basically shake and bake stuff works great. Or your own spin on that. And yeah, anything from the freezer section that is otherwise bad for you, pop it right in there. It's great.
Oh yeah. Beer batter, shrimp, and mozzarella sticks and potato skins. Potato skins are awesome. So it's just an excuse to eat food I'm not supposed to have. So, exactly. So there's been that. And because we did beer batter shrimp and I ate shrimp and I'm not supposed to. So,
yeah. Well, you gotta live, man.
They were so good. Oh, it was like crack. It was like crack. But no, I'm enjoying it. So that was an early birthday present.
Sweet.
And this year, I am not cooking for Thanksgiving because my birthday is Thanksgiving. So we are going out.
Excellent. To like Gustav's or someplace?
We are going to Ruth's Chris.
Oh, uh-huh. Steakhouse.
Yeah. Because we haven't been in a while.
Yeah, that seems fun. Yeah, I'll have to wait till either we have, I don't know, a more adventurous eating child or a babysitter before we get to eat at Earl Restaurant again. I'm very familiar with the Red Robin menu. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.